there, folks, and welcome to Christ in Every Word, a podcast of the Concordia Bible Institute, housed on the beautiful campus of Concordia University, Wisconsin. This is your opportunity to read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest the sacred scriptures with me, Dr. Brian Gurman, assistant professor of theology here at the university and the director of the Concordia Bible Institute. We are cruising through Romans, and I'm just realizing here that we are on the third last chapter of this book, Roman through Romans. What are we going to do next? I have no idea, but we're getting there. Chapter 14 is on the docket today. What a journey, though. Thinking back on it, we've been through Paul's thesis statement about the gospel being the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. We've been through the nature of that gospel. We've been through the Abraham stuff, the Adam stuff, the baptismal stuff. We've been through the same time sinner and saint. I'm convinced that nothing can separate us from Christ. The Israel church stuff, chapters 9-11, the love one another, love fulfilling the law. Oh my, we've been through a lot and we still have more to go. And that is, don't pass judgment on one another, as my fancy ESV Bible subtitle puts it. We're going to talk about that today. This weak and the strong, and how are they all to get along? I just made that rhyme up. Did you get that? That was kind of clever, I thought. Totally unintended, too. Chapter 14, Romans. Here we go. I think we'll do the full chapter here, too. I think we can make this happen. So here we go. Here's the text. As for the one who is weak in faith, welcome him, but not to quarrel over opinions. One person believes he may eat anything, while the weak person eats only vegetables. Let not the one who eats despise the one who abstains, and let not the one who abstains pass judgment on the one who eats, for God has welcomed him. Who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? It is before his own master that he stands or falls, and he will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make him stand. One person esteems one day as better than another, while another esteems all days alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. The one who observes the day, observes it in honor of the Lord. The one who eats, eats in honor of the Lord, since he gives thanks to God, while the one who abstains, abstains in honor of the Lord and gives thanks to God. For none of us lives to himself, and none of us dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord of both the dead and of the living. Why do you pass judgment on your brother? Or you, why do you despise your brother? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us will give an account of himself to God. Therefore, let us not pass judgment on one another any longer, but rather decide never to put a stumbling block or hindrance in the way of a brother. I know and am persuaded in the Lord Jesus that nothing is unclean in itself, but it is unclean for anyone who thinks it unclean. For if your brother is grieved by what you eat, you are no longer walking in love. By what you eat, do not destroy the one for whom Christ died. So do not let what you regard as good be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Whoever thus serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved by men. So then let us pursue what makes for peace and for mutual upbuilding. Do not, for the sake of food, destroy the work of God. Everything is indeed clean, but it is wrong for anyone to make another stumble by what he eats. It is good not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything that causes your brother to stumble. The faith that you have, keep between yourself and God. Blessed is the one who has no reason to pass judgment on himself for what he approves. But whoever has doubts is condemned if he eats, because the eating is not from faith. For whatever does not proceed from faith is sin. Alrighty, there is the text of Romans chapter 14. We are in sort of a different gear, aren't we, than we were in 13. Now we're we're transitioning into a very real example of Jewish Christian / Gentile Christian conflict in the early church. Some people kind of debate, is this chapter even fit where it belongs? Is this like, was, you know, did he write a letter and then kind of tacked on something later because somebody, he heard of something? Or is it, you know, the critical scholars say, well, it's maybe not even Paul? Or how much did Paul know about the church in Rome? If he's never visited them, he didn't found them. Well, what is there something going on the ground there that there's a specific incident in mind? Are there rival churches, congregations, and he has to sort something out? Well, it seems to me that he, based on this, he does know a thing or two about the conflicts that very well are going on in the ground, not just because of, you know, he got an email from somebody there, but more so because this is a very, this is, I guess, the main point here. This actually fits quite well in Romans because this is a very practical example of this Jew-Gentile relationship in the early church. When the gospel comes along, what do we do with this whole eating and drinking thing and the calendar observances and the dietary restrictions and all the stuff in the Mosaic law, really, is what the, what you have then are camps, two major camps. You kind of hear of this throughout. You have the stronger brother and the weaker brother, but they're both in faith. They're both brothers, okay? So what's the deal here? Well, you have the strong, on the one hand, who are basically eating everything. Who cares? Hey, Christ has come. He's fulfilled the Mosaic law. All those weird dietary restrictions, like not eating pork. Hey, we can have pork chops now, so grill up a couple of them for dinner tonight, okay? So the strong are eating everything, while the weak eat only vegetables. The strong don't care about the observing certain days anymore. Hey, we're all good. You know, there are special days also in the laws of Moses, right? We've got the, of course, the Passover, and we have these festivals and feasts. We got the certain this day of this month, you know, the first fruits and the tabernacles and all these things. There are some people that are saying, well, you know, the strong say, who cares? It's everything's a free range now. The calendar is the calendar, and that's that. But the weak are still valuing some days more than others, still kind of holding on to the good old days, so to speak. No pun intended. And then finally, the strong, we hear here in this chapter, they're drinking wine, you know, they're doing stuff like that, and the weak are still saying, nah, it's probably not the best, okay? So the weak here, you know, so you'd kind of think like, well, maybe those who are doing everything are the weak ones because they're just not, you know, firm in their faith and they're doing whatever. No, the ones that are doing whatever and kind of letting, those are the strong. The weak here that we got to be careful about are probably Jewish Christians who were probably also the minority group. So this weak, the weaker group is the smaller group. They're probably Jewish Christians. The strong are probably like Gentile Christians mostly. They were the majority, probably, and they were kind of running around like they're the enlightened ones. Hey, you Jews, remember you had the old, you know, the old covenant, but we all know that, you know, God, he might have had a special position in the history of salvation, but by the way, you blew it. But we believe in Christ, and it's free range. We can have pepperoni on our pizza and do all these other sorts of things. So we hear this eating, the matter of eating and all that. They probably, I mean, they might have been kind of boasting around those lines. We saw this earlier in the letter, too. Don't, it's in 9 to 11, right? Go easy there. Don't be boasting about your special. The Jews have a special position in the history of salvation, but don't be boasting and say, hey, you know, Paul is a missionary to us and you Jews blew it and all that sort of stuff. Don't run around like you're some enlightened group. But at the same time, so here's the thing about Paul is that he defends both sides of this. Like he's recognizing that there's both the strong and the weak in the one faith, the one church. Okay, so I don't know, maybe there are rival congregations even, maybe they're formed kind of like, well, you guys worship in that way, we're, you're the high church Lutherans, we're the low church Lutherans, and so, you know, they, I don't know how it would have looked there, but maybe there was some sort of this divisiveness along these lines. So Paul writes this chapter to speak to them. He recognizes that there's now this fulfillment that Christ has brought for these matters of Old Testament law. And yet at the same time, he says, go easy there with your brothers in the faith who maybe, especially those Jewish Christians, they've been practicing that stuff the whole time. They've been going out to restaurants for decades and they never ordered pepperoni on their pizza. So be careful if you get invited to go out to Pizza Hut and you say, yeah, I want triple pepperoni on the whole thing. Now, easy. Okay, easy. Just remember, I mean, the eating is only one part of this. This whole laws of Moses and what was forbidden and what can be okay now in light of Christ. Eating was clearly, I mean, even Peter got into this, right? In Galatians, it reminds me of this incident in Galatians. What was Peter doing? That even made Paul upset. Well, he was eating a bunch of pork chops with Gentile friends, and as soon as some of his Jewish classmates, college roommates from back in the day came along, he would scoot back from the table. Oh, hey, guys, hey, how's it going? Hey, look at all those guys over there eating those pork chops. I wouldn't be doing that. And Paul gets in his face and said, if you're a Jew, but you're living like a Gentile, but then you're living like a Jew, you're sending mixed messages about what the gospel's all about. And so Paul writes that also to the Romans. It actually fits quite good with the rest of Romans, because remember, Romans, for the Jew first and also the Greek, Paul, as an expert missionary preacher toward the end of his career, is writing as a good preacher to recognize that this was a huge problem, this whole Jew and Gentile thing. It was throughout the early church, and so he addresses it here. And he doesn't want them to judge each other about it. There are 11 times this word judge appears throughout this chapter. And the judgment's going both ways. At first, this first half of the chapter, Paul is speaking to those who are, he first speaks to the weak ones who are judging the strong ones, as in the weak ones who, well, we're still kind of holding on to some of the old school stuff, but we still believe in Christ. We're just kind of holding on, you know, that's how we're practicing our faith right now. They're judging all the strong ones. They're judging all those liberals out there who are just having free range. Okay, but then the second half of the chapter, he switches. And then he goes after the strong who are judging the weak, the strong ones who are just like, look at those weak. They shouldn't be having, you know, dietary restrictions and calendar observances and all these things. They should be letting loose. And Paul goes after them too. So what amazes me about this is that, again, I think I mentioned, Paul defends and even commends both sides. The whole thing, this whole chapter, it actually goes into 15 a little bit, but we'll just tackle 14. The whole thing is framed by receive one another. Receive one another. At the end of the day, however you're practicing what you're practicing, do it for the sake of the gospel. Do it for the sake of, what he says, mutual upbuilding. Do it for the far greater good of your fellow believers' edification and even salvation. Don't destroy one's faith over, hey, you should or shouldn't be eating that sort of thing. Whatever it is that you're doing, however it is that you're practicing, make sure it is all motivated by the gospel of Christ Jesus. I guess if you forget everything else today in this podcast, that's the point here. Receiving one another, whatever it is that you're doing, why exactly are you doing what you're doing? And whatever it is, let it be the case that it is always driven by the gospel. First and foremost, the gospel. Okay. Holy moly. I just introduced the chapter and we're already at the time for the... Are you believing this? This is crazy. Well, maybe, and I don't know, maybe this isn't all that crazy. This is one of those chapters, I don't know how much you want a detailed verse-by-verse analysis, but that's kind of the overview and the main point. And now it's sort of kind of already time for a break, and we haven't even looked at a single verse. So, yeah, I guess I'm going to just take the break now, and then we'll jump in. So I'll be right back.
We'll be back in just a moment to the Concordia Bible Institute podcast. In the meantime, I'd like to have you consider this question. What is most important in higher education? How do you prioritize all the knowledge to be gained at an institution of higher learning? Concordia University, Wisconsin, located on the shores of Lake Michigan in Mequon, Wisconsin, just north of Milwaukee, is an institution that is committed to excellence in learning, but at the same time realizes that excellence in itself is insufficient without development in vocation. We believe that God works through our vocations, our callings, in order to serve the needs of those around us. The mission statement of Concordia University puts it this way: Concordia University, Wisconsin is a Lutheran higher education community committed to helping students develop in mind, body, and spirit for service to Christ in the church and the world. You can learn more about the over 70 programs offered at Concordia by visiting the website, www.cuw.edu. And if you're benefiting from our Christ in Every Word podcasts, I encourage you to support this ministry by mentioning it to others and by offering your monetary support. Please consider supporting the Concordia Bible Institute by going to our website, www.concordiabible.org, and clicking on the contribute page. And now, back to the podcast.
Alrighty there, folks. We are back with our study of Romans chapter 14. Again, very essential kind of to the gospel proclamation that Paul is giving here, and that is how the Jew and Gentile Christian people are going to get along. And he's got this big phrase going on throughout: don't pass judgment on one another, the weak and the strong. And let's just take a few verses at a time here. As for the one who's weak in faith, welcome him, but not to quarrel over opinions. Somebody's eating everything. Somebody else is only eating vegetables. Don't be despising each other. Okay, don't be passing judgment on each other. For God has welcomed him. Who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? It's before his own master that he stands or falls, and he will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make him stand. That's the thing. At the end of the day, whatever you're eating and not eating, what is your relationship with the Lord? That should be kind of a governing question here. And also along those lines, how did the Lord himself handle such matters? You know, he gave this indication, you know, you're healed from your leprosy, now go to the priest as Moses wrote. Hey, wait a minute, aren't you coming to fulfill the laws of Moses? How's it all work? And then at the same time, it's, hey, are you guys hungry? Here's some, pluck some heads of grain on the Sabbath. Oh my goodness, and the Pharisees get all, you know, hot and bothered by that. And Jesus says, well, I'm kind of Lord of the Sabbath, so think through that for a while, I'll see you later. So there's kind of this, even with our Lord himself, why are your disciples not washing? You know, why are you not doing some of the ceremonies? And when our Lord declares all foods clean and things like that, well, you see that kind of interplay already in our Lord's ministry. And so Paul here has that be the heart and center of, that's the question. What is the nature of the gospel all about? What is the relationship with the Lord that we have? How did the Lord himself handle these things? And no matter what you do, verses 5 through 9, you see this rephrase again and again, do it in honor of the Lord, in honor of the Lord. So the one observes the day and the other doesn't observe the day. Make sure you do it in the honor of the Lord, in the honor of the Lord. Whatever it is that you're doing, practicing the faith, Paul says, make sure it is done in the honor of the Lord. In other words, it's not just about you. There's more going on than, well, this is just, you know, I practice it this way because I'm cool and I've got this thing and I've got a motive and I got an agenda and I'm going to teach somebody a lesson about how Christianity works and all these sorts of things. Now, easy, because whatever it is, the faith is more than just you, buddy. It's not just about you at the end of the day, because if we live, we live to the Lord, he says, verse 8. If we die, we die to the Lord, verse 8. So then whether we live or whether we die, we are first and foremost the Lord's, okay? And Paul reminds us, verse 9, for to this end Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living. That's always the perspective here. When judging one another, okay, so here's the other thing too. Paul talks, as I mentioned, a lot about judgment in this chapter. Don't pass judgment on one another. Even the ESV subtitle even has that, right? Don't pass judgment on one another. Oh boy, there's another one of these moments where it's like, what does the Bible say about judgment? Well, everybody knows that judge not lest ye be judged. But what does that really mean? Well, it's turned into a bumper sticker and it just kind of means, well, don't, you know, I can do whatever I want. Unless you're perfect, don't make any judgments whatsoever. Is that all the Bible says about it? Actually, the Bible talks a lot about judgments, the act of judging, and who the judge is. The Bible says a lot more about how we are to judge and not just, is it like a yes or no issue? It's not a yes or no issue. There are all kinds of judgments that the Christian is called to make. I mean, in a sense, you make a judgment every day when you get what color tie should I wear with this shirt is a judgment, maybe trivial and okay, fine, but it still is one. And also, the I'm thinking of like Paul in Corinthians, the spiritual man judges all things. Don't you know that we're going to judge even the angels? I mean, we're going to be, whoa, whoa. Or even in this, even in the messy business of the here and now. Whoever wonders, James at the end of James talks about this, whoever's wandering around caught up in a transgression, you should restore him. You should take note of that. You should acknowledge what it is and call a thing what it is. Isn't that judging one another? Well, you can call it whatever you want. And that means recognizing a particular sin or error. Somebody's caught up in it and acting on that. So what does judge not mean? Does it mean don't acknowledge sin? Does it mean don't be a hypocrite? Does it mean don't have any judges in court? You know, all these things. Well, Paul is getting into this business of judgment here in Romans 14 too. And that is easy when you make a particular judgment. As in, if you're going to look at your brother who's practicing the faith by not eating certain things or whatever it is, the calendar observances and things like that, remember, whatever you make of that difference of practicing the faith, whatever you make of that, just remember when you are making whatever you're making of that, that there is the judge, okay? And you will too appear before that judgment seat of God, okay? As it is written, every knee shall bow to me, every tongue shall confess. Kind of fascinating, by the way. He uses that in Philippians 2 as well, but yeah, he uses it here too. But verse 12, each one of us will give an account of himself to God. Whatever you're doing, it should be done for the sake of the gospel, okay? And if there is any judgment that is taking place, just remember before you do that, that you will also appear before the judgment seat of God. So keep that in mind before you do anything, okay? So this is totally getting at an issue and running right to the core of it. There's something more going on than just these differences of practices. What's actually essential here in this matter of judging one another and eating and not eating and calendar observing and not observing? Okay, what's at the heart and center of the gospel, the Lord? And no matter what you're doing, everything needs to be seen in that light. So, therefore, verse 13, don't pass judgment on one another any longer, but rather decide never to put a stumbling block or a hindrance in the way of a brother. This is something that Paul repeats multiple times in this chapter. Stumbling blocks, hindrances. I think it's in verse 19 too, right? Make mutual upbuilding, okay? So what is a stumbling block? What is a hindrance? Well, I mean, I'm just trying to think of some practical today modern examples, and let me tell you one that comes to mind, and that is I got a friend, right, who's a Baptist. Now, this friend who's a Baptist doesn't take the same, we believe in the same Jesus, and yeah, I know some of you could qualify that and say, well, not exactly, because you believe different things about that Jesus, and okay, all right, I understand, but we're both Christian, and here we go. He is opposed to the drinking of alcohol, and I'm treating it like a first article gift that should be used in moderation, part of God's gift to us. Of course, not to be abused and things like that, but I'm okay with that. Now, here's the thing. What I don't do then is invite him over to dinner and then slap down a big Jack and Coke in front of him. That's not the sort of way to go about practicing your faith in that sense. That's kind of a stumbling. Here's something that he doesn't believe should be part of the Christian faith or a hindrance of some kind. And all of a sudden, I'm going to shove it in his face. No, I'm aware of this. How about we just have lemonade instead or whatever the case is? I guess there are others. I mean, dancing and ways of dressing or smoking or some of these things, I guess. I don't know. I'm trying to think of some more. But this is also the sort of thing that we need to be mindful of. What exactly, why are we doing what we're doing? And is it building up my brother in Christ? All things are lawful for, I mean, oh, Corinthians kind of had this problem too, right? Where Paul was talking to, all things are lawful for me. Yeah, okay, you're free in the gospel, but not everything is necessarily helpful. What's helpful? And so Paul would, I mean, talk about this in Corinthians quite a bit. He said, you know, even though I'm free for everybody, I'm a servant. I've made myself a servant to everybody so that I can win some of them. So to the Jews I became a Jew in order to win the Jews. And to those under the law I became as one under the law, that I might win those under the law, and so on. To those outside I became as outside, and to the weak I became weak, and all these things. I did all things for the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them in its blessing. So it's kind of like the, I don't know, the baptized version of when in Rome, do as Romans do. I mean, this is what Paul is getting at here. You're going to run into different practices in the Christian church, in the Christian faith. Easy when you start sorting through those, that you don't set up stumbling blocks or hindrances to the very faith that you are confessing. Paul even knows, like I'm just looking at verse 14 here, I'm persuaded in the Lord Jesus that nothing is unclean in itself. I mean, he's even agreeing in principle with the strong, with the group that are probably the majority. He knows, okay, you guys, I get it. All foods are clean now in Christ. But easy, relax. Be careful, be mindful. Don't flaunt around your God-given freedoms, okay? And so he'll even have this, like, I'm skipping ahead a few verses. He talks about mutual upbuilding in verse 19. But be careful with the eating and drinking, be careful. Everything is indeed clean. And again, verse 20, he agrees in principle. I get it. Everything is indeed clean. Again, he's the second half of this chapter, he's speaking to the strong. Everything is indeed clean. I get it. But it's wrong for anyone to make another stumble by what he eats, like Peter with the whole pork chop thing. And, you know, just be easy on that, okay? I don't know, the Catholic friends, fish on Friday, whatever the case is. If you know that, okay, you're aware of that, don't slap down the big T-bone when you have them over for dinner and just, yeah, out of spite or as a kind of cruel way to teach a lesson or something like that, okay? So Paul even say, verse 22 is what I was getting at eventually, the faith that you have, keep between yourself and God. Whoa, is Paul a postmodern? What is he? Does he know what he's, what it, keep between yourself and God, as in be mindful of the relationship that you have with the Lord, what that's all about, and then don't take advantage of that relationship by imposing something on somebody else that you really shouldn't insist upon. So keep it private in that sense, as in that you're not giving anybody any reason to pass judgment on himself for what he approves. Verse 20, the end of the other part of verse 22. Okay. At the same time, be sure of what you're doing, as in whoever has doubts is condemned if he eats because he's not eating from faith. As in, what do you do? Why, at the end of the day, why exactly are you doing what you're doing? Okay, so he has these people eating certain things, not eating certain things, calendar days, not calendar days. Why exactly are you doing what you're doing? Because either side can run to the same trap of, I'm just doing this, like, if you say you are eating only certain things, are you going to start trusting in that as earning some sort of special favor before God? Well, those other people don't, but I am, and therefore I'm more loved or something like that. Or you start to put the, kind of a false hope in your actions there. And vice versa, a false hope in a kind of, well, I get the gospel so well, I'm going to eat anything and everything, and I'm going to get a special favor because I recognize that, and I bear witness to that in boisterous ways. So I'm going to get a special favor for God. That's what, you can fall off the rails on both sides of this. Paul recognizes it. And again, he defends and even acknowledges both positions, but he says, by the way, you can both easily fall off the, you know, you can both easily get into some trouble here. At the end of the day, whatever does not proceed from faith is sin, okay? So if you're doing whatever you're doing and it's not from faith, that's sin and that's not cool. At the end of the day, whether we eat, whether we don't drink, whether we, you know, observe this day or not, we are the Lord's. Whatever it is that we're doing always needs to be done with a view toward what upholds the gospel, what bears witness to the person and work of Christ. At the end of the day, whatever the case is regarding these different practices, first and foremost is he must increase, we must decrease. Oh boy, I am looking at the time. This went a lot faster than I thought it would. This particular, just sometimes time moves right along, but there we are, already at the end of Romans chapter 14, but another essential piece to the proclamation of the gospel here. We see it in Paul. Great part to the letter, great letter in the Bible, just good stuff. Thanks again for joining. Boy, the Bible, it'll get you, I'm telling you. The Bible will get you. I tell it to my students too. It'll get you. You watch, okay? All right. That's all the time we have this time. But please consider mentioning this podcast to your family and friends so that they too can learn more about God's Word with us. The mission of the Concordia Bible Institute is to provide Christ-centered Bible instruction from distinguished experts who teach Christ in every word of the Old and New Testaments to strengthen faith and spread belief in the one true God. Again, if you benefit from this podcast series, I encourage you to consider supporting the Bible Institute by going to our website, www.concordiabible.org, and clicking on our contribute page. Until next time, I'm Dr. Brian Gurman, wishing you all God's blessings in Christ Jesus our Lord.